This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The new man in charge.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us as we pick through the vote count and what it means and the fallout from the financial crisis. In a Rose Garden appearance this morning, President Bush talked about a smooth transition of power from his administration to new President-elect Barack Obama's White House come January. And the 47-year-old junior senator from Illinois will have his plate full between now and then as he works on putting together an economic team that's charged with repairing a broken economy. We're joined by Marketplace's Alisa Roth now with reaction from investors. Alisa, what does Wall Street want from President-elect Obama?
I think really the main thing was to have a decisive victory, which we obviously got. The worst case scenario for Wall Street would have been a repeat of what we had in 2000 or something similar. I talked to Brian Gardner this morning. He watches public policy issues for the investment bank Keefe, Bruyette & Woods. And he said Wall Street doesn't exactly want anything.
It's not so much what they want from. It's, I think, to be shielded from. Business is playing defense.
And he says really the bigger issue for Wall Street will probably be what happened on Capitol Hill last night.
Well, the Democrats now have an even stronger majority in Congress, as you alluded to. What does that mean?
Well, it sounds a little bit bizarre, but I think Wall Street would really like to have a little bit more gridlock. When you have a majority, it means that things can get pushed through a little bit more easily. So the Democrats don't have an absolute majority in the Senate, but they're pretty close, and I think that's going to make Wall Street a little bit nervous because, again, we could see new regulations coming out. One of the biggest will obviously be changes to oversight in the financial sector, but there's also stuff like environmental issues. And interestingly, a couple of people mentioned to me concerns about unionization. So companies like Walmart that have really been fending off the unions are probably a little bit nervous right now.
So we're watching all those things down the road. What does President-elect Obama need to do for Wall Street right now?
He really just needs to show leadership. He needs to start appointing some solid people to positions. And really, the big key there is going to be who's named to Treasury Secretary.
Marketplace's Alisa Roth. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Overseas markets were mixed with Asian stocks surging and European stocks slumping. Here, stateside, stocks are down. After a big Election Day rally, the tally not so nice this morning. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P are all down by 1% or less. Blue chips have lost about 100 points so far this morning as investors are focusing on the economy now and not so much the election. Maybe they're blue about this. Companies in the United States cut an estimated 157,000 jobs in October, the most in nearly 6 years. That's according to a private report based on payroll data. ADP Employer Services says the drop in employment was the biggest since November of 2002, when the U.S. was emerging from a recession. Firings and layoffs have spread from automakers, financial and housing-related companies, to retailers and other services as the economic slump appears to get deeper. A government report later this week will give a little clarity to those numbers. Pollsters were on a feeding frenzy during the presidential election, and now that the election is over, they're taking a deep breath and thinking, now what? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at how polling companies make money after the election.
This was the fourth presidential election John Zogby has polled for. He's exhausted.
I'm ready to kind of slow it down a little bit.
But things never really slow down for Zogby, the CEO of Zogby International. Political polling is dessert for Zogby, his bread and butter, polling for governments and consumer surveys.
We turned the foot cream into a foot ointment because that's what the public said that they wanted.
Zogby does most of his election polling for media companies. That only accounts for about 9% of his revenues. Same thing for pollster Mike Riley. He's CEO of Riley Research Associates. His post-election plans, marketing research.
Will the customers buy this new product? Where will they buy it? What color should it be?
Not as riveting as predicting the next leader of the free world, but hey, it pays the bills. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
It looks as if the election was the final straw for U.S. News & World Report. The magazine is throwing in the towel on glossy and going all digital now. The Washington Post reports that the magazine has decided to reinvent itself online. The magazine's been struggling to compete against Time and Newsweek. It cut back and became a biweekly earlier this year to try to trim costs. The magazine has already trimmed workers, and more layoffs may be on the way.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Shriners Hospitals for Children, providing treatment for orthopedic, burn, and spinal cord injuries at no cost to the families. More at shrinersforkids.org. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Let's take a step away from the election results and look at some other numbers of consequence. You know those credit scores that are ever so important when it comes to buying a house or a car? Well, the company behind the so-called FICO scores, Fair Isaac, issues its results later today. Has the environment of tight credit, where people are fretting over their scores, benefited Fair Isaac? Here's Ashley Milne-Tight.
You might think anxious consumers would be checking their credit scores right now, but not ones they have to pay for, like the FICO score. Michael Nemeroff is an analyst with Wedbush Morgan Securities. He says most of Fair Isaac's credit score business actually comes from companies. Big financial firms use the FICO data to check their customers' credit when they want to make a big purchase, a house, a boat, even a washer dryer.
So based on what's been going on with the economy for the last couple of quarters and the fact that most consumers are not exactly going out and buying these big ticket items in droves, I would expect that the volumes of their scoring business would actually be declining.
And he says if there's less credit scoring going on, that's likely to mean lower profits for Fair Isaac. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
Recapping the stock market again, stocks down this morning. The Dow down about 125. NASDAQ down 24. S&P 500 down about 1% so far this morning. Asian markets reacted fondly toward new American president-elect Barack Obama. European markets dipped. We'll continue to keep close watch on the fallout from the financial crisis throughout the morning and, of course, online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.